Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
In the prologue to Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, Suzuki Roshi writes, in Japan, we have the phrase Shoshin, which means beginner's mind. The goal of practice is always to keep our beginner's mind. Suppose you recite the Prajnaparamita Sutra only once. It might be a very good recitation. But what would happen to you if you recited it twice, three times, four times or more? You might easily lose your original attitude towards it. The same thing will happen in your other Zen practices. For a while, you will keep your beginner's mind, but if you continue to practice 1, 2, 3 years or more, although you may improve some, you are liable to lose the limitless meaning of original mind. It appears that every spiritual lineage is dialed into Screwtape's machinations. We can project that the Roshi is wise too in wanting and warning us about one of the most valuable passions we have produced in the human heart, an endless source of heresies in religion, folly in counsel, infidelity in marriage, and inconstancy in friendship, the horror of the same old thing. This week, let's take a vacation from the drudgery of conditioned mind and reclaim the enchantment of direct experience. Set alarms throughout the day. When the timer goes off, pay attention. Be aware of what is new. Enjoy freshness. Be aware of what is familiar. Enjoy the habitual. Be aware of what is changing. Enjoy transience. Be aware of what is unchanging. Enjoy permanence. Then record about your love of rhythm, the union of change and permanence, the mixture of novelty and familiarity. For extra credit, bring beginner's mind to a practice activity such as the recitation of the daily recollection. Allow yourself to enjoy being at the intersection of a timeless lineage of monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path in the eternal now from which the words are arising as if for the first time. And Sherry, I would issue that invitation for folks who have not participated, who haven't put themselves in the queue and who did, to please do so again.
All right.
All right. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna in Lviv.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going all right. Thanks.
All quiet today. Currently?
Well, here, yes. The rest of the country, no. But here's where I am, and it is quiet. Mm-hmm. And here we are. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I'm laughing because I put myself in the queue. There were all sorts of possibilities for things to say, and they've gone. Here we are.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And here we are.
And here we are. Here we are. Could be the gift, huh?
Yes. Mm. Always. I think always. And every time we have assistance in realizing that, which, you know, it's actually makes something like what we're doing and putting oneself in the queue a really unique opportunity. Because there are not a lot of places in life where we have that opportunity. And when we have it, it usually turns into a tremendous opportunity for the ego voices and not so much for the human being. Because you get caught off guard, you say something, and then the voices just trounce you for having said something stupid. So this is a wonderful time to practice. Well, let's just see what drops in.
Yeah, the center of gravity is entirely, or the balance is entirely on the side of life, right? Because that's what we're all doing together. And so, yes, yeah, this is the opportunity.
And nobody's gonna jump on you and call you stupid for whatever it is that you say. Mm-hmm. So that's unique right there.
Yeah, that just brings tears to the eyes because... The what always assists me, or what always drops in as I'm putting myself in the queue is, you know, those things, those reminders that come up of the contribution is just being here on the call. There's mm-hmm. nothing you need to do. And mm-hmm. may we all just be like 4-year-olds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And in my work day to day, there's been exactly the opposite of that, where there's like no, I was just about to start talking about other people, and that's maybe the gift as well, but what I'm encountering is no expanded awareness of, well, you know, you haven't had much sleep, and you're in the bomb shelter for 3 hours. Last night, there's just are you meeting this deadline? Are you meeting this deadline? You've missed this, you've missed this, from an external person. And
someone, I'm guessing, who isn't in a shelter.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And is writing me messages that appear to have been written by ChatGPT. So they sound like, oh, I understand how exhausting it must be, and yet you haven't updated the document. It's just like,
mm-hmm.
it's screw tape.
Yeah, well, and mm-hmm. I'm going to project here that while it can be really upsetting, frustrating, anger-producing, sad, all of those things,
mm-hmm.
you also can see it with humor, right? Just how absurd the
yes.
whole thing is. You know,
yes.
oh, gosh, I forgot to bring my laptop to the bomb shelter. Oh, I don't have Wi-Fi down here. So, yeah, you're right. You're right. I didn't get that done. I was busy with this other group of folks. We were all trying not to get killed.
Exactly. What are your task priorities for the day? Not being killed. Uh huh. That's top of the.
Yeah. And so for us to get to that place, you know, we really can begin to sidestep all of those
yeah.
other emotions that are completely understandable.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to see why we would go there. And with that next step back, we can see the absurdity of all of the conditioning
yeah.
that we fall into.
Yeah.
And it's just nuts. I mean, we're just so focused on our own little reality.
Mm-hmm.
To try to get enough space to have a sense of what somebody else is experiencing is just, we're not trained for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
and you know, a good laugh can sometimes wake you up too. So that, you know, keep you awake. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, continue to listen for the alarms and make it to safety, and know that people will ultimately get over themselves, whatever they've got going on.
May all beings get over themselves.
Yes.
May we all get over ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great
yeah.
St. Francis light prayer. All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Gassho.
Thank you. Thank you. Gassho.
Thanks, Anna. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tom in Texas.
Hey, Tom.
Hello, Srini. This assignment I found it's really easy to go out in the world and find fresh and changing and, you know, and then the things that we habitually do that sometimes are comforting and non-ego related, and many times ego grasps onto them as, you know, saving and protecting the ego. But the one thing I've gotten an unusual sense of calmness about is looking for things that are impermanent, that are unchanging, and I can't find any. And it's just been a beautiful reminder, even the earth itself will one day not be the earth itself. And it's been a beautiful reminder because ego really resists comfort with changing, with you know, trying to ego grasp all the time onto, you know, trying to keep things the same and protecting the sameness of it all. And in looking for impermanence and going out in the world or to a park and finding impermanence and not being able to find it, it sort of opens the door to, you know what, everything's changing. It's just, and we hear it, and I'm reminded all the time, of course, getting older and those things. But gosh, what a great reminder this class has been to notice that there's really nothing impermanent and to embrace the beauty in that.
If I'm following Tom, there's nothing that is permanent because everything is
changing all the time. Thank you.
And so to be able to just be comfortable with it, because the conditioned notion is that isn't comfortable. To contemplate that nothing remains the same.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That can be viewed from a fear place, mm-hmm. grasping place, or an abundance place, and that's
exactly.
the choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, and some of our heroes actually talk about, I mean, in fact, the Buddha said it's either aversion or attachment, because we don't want to be in touch with that impermanence.
Right. Yes, that's it. So, yeah, it's been a great, it's been an unexpected, benefit to practicing this week. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Penny in Murphy's.
Hey, Penny.
Hey. So many ideas have come up. So many thoughts have come up with regard to the assignment. I remember a time in group where you were facilitating, and I mentioned that my mother watched Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy every night. And every night she would talk about it like it was the newest thing, the most exciting thing in the world. And I remember saying to you, she talks about it like it's brand new every night. And you said, because it is. And that was such a revelation. It was like, what do you mean, because it is? This is the most repetitive thing I've ever heard. And what occurs to me, as I was remembering that anecdote, what occurred to me that didn't occur to me at the time was not just to sort of smile tolerantly and say, oh, yeah, I guess that's happening for her, but to get it that my response to her saying that every night could be new.
Oh. Oh. What a fabulous application.
Yeah. Now, you know, she's been dead since 1998, so it's a little late, but really.
But there'll be other opportunities.
There'll be other opportunities as well to not just sort of get the concept, but to participate mm-hmm. in is a mm-hmm. whole different level of thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's so interesting for me because I talk to not a lot of people, but a number of people who are dealing with parents who are in the, or partners at this point, who are in that place of not realizing that they're saying mm-hmm. the same thing over and over and over, and the frustration that the people listening to them get into, and then the mm-hmm. guilt that comes with it. You know, I'm so impatient. Why can't I be patient with what's going on? And what you're pointing us to is exactly the reason for that. I'm not present. That's why somebody else repeating the same thing over and over and over is annoying to me. If I were yep. here, I'd be hearing it for the first time.
Yeah, and she was, and what she was expressing to was the level of enjoyment. Every night she had this fresh enjoyment of this thing, of these programs, and I had fallen into a kind of not quite resentment, but just oh mom, you know, a kind of
oh please,
yeah, and not getting the model she was providing for me.
Yeah, yeah. You were talking to the Buddha, and you thought it was just your kind of dull old mother.
Yeah. And now I'm really about the same age she was when she was saying things like that. And I'm realizing that I and my friends and my partner, we're all here. And I'm realizing that I can just keep tapping back into that as a reminder when I find myself saying things over and over, or forgetting things, or they forget things, and to get that, well, then that means it's just fresh in this moment. That's all.
That's right. That's all it means. And even if you're with a group of people who are just on it, right? Never forget anything, never repeat anything, never whatever it is. That, if we are idealizing that, then we might be idealizing the wrong thing. If that's what's happening to them, because they're so present, right? They're so present to every fresh moment that they're only responding to that, then we can say, oh, that is fabulous, right?
Yeah.
But if it comes from the place that it has come from in us all of our lives, then it's really not to be admired.
Yeah. Yeah, and one last thing, as I'm talking about this topic, yeah, I have a dear friend of 50-some years who was a mentor and colleague for years, and she is deeply into Alzheimer's. And what's been interesting to me as we have periodic phone calls with her daughter and her and some other people, and what's been interesting to me is I'm not finding it tragic. I'm finding it, what I find myself feeling after our phone calls is tremendous gratitude that we have been through so many phases of life together.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure that she's unhappy. And and so why should I be unhappy? But also, it's just what is. It's just what is. And it doesn't negate anything that went before. And if I cannot find it tragic, although I think it's really tough on her family, but if I can not find it tragic, then I can be there and just appreciate that we've had 50 years and continue to have this contact, however it is.
Yeah, exactly so. Yes, and it all comes down to the same thing, right? We're either here, where everything is all right and we can enjoy and appreciate it, or we're not. And if we're not, we're suffering. It doesn't matter whether you're 22 or 102. It's the rules of the game are exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to
Thank
keep
you.
In mind. Thank you, Penny.
Thanks, Penny. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Penny, just 1 second. I wasn't able to find you in the queue to mute. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Janice in Victoria.
Hey, Janice.
Hey. Well, as I'm listening to every caller, just more and more insight comes, and I'm just so grateful to hear. I'm grateful to hear all of the guidance, and I'm grateful to hear all of the folks just with their feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Just to be receptive to everybody's presence and the wisdom that arises in that presence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was reading the newsletter from the invitation for the bridge walk and realizing all the people who have their feet on the ground in Cantalomba, let alone Sherry saying yes to even being able to go there. And then the beginning of all of us that can put our feet on the ground and walk in that way to support, really, support life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and it's such a beautiful illustration of the familiar and the new, right? Every year we do a bridge walk. Every year it's exciting. Every year there's something different we do, And every year we tap into that same courage and commitment and generosity and yes. Yeah?
Yes.
It's a beautiful cycle of generosity, right? So we get to experience ours and we get to marvel in that community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And with the regard to the taking a practice, for example, like doing the daily recollection every day, I would notice where there'd be, because it's the same words and we have virtual meditation, so there's that impetus to be on the virtual meditation call so that there is a rhythm and a flow that daily that can happen. I was paying attention and I noticed like when my voice is repeating things or saying reciting things, not repeating, but reciting. And, you know, I can say the words, but I'm not 100% there. And then seeing when I, like, I don't know, it's so brand to say the words and be there.
Absolutely. It is very similar to meditation because the mind does wander. And oftentimes, at least this is my experience, that when I'm saying the words, I can still see the thoughts in the mind, whereas there are times when that too disappears and there's just absolute attention on the words, and qualitatively they're different experiences.
Yes, and one of the sections that I noticed with this assignment was to, you know, when I get to the part where I bow, I sacrifice, and then really hearing like all thoughts, you know, and all tension and all pressure and all desire, like really feeling it, like I was, did that ever light me up? I was thinking like, well, where is that? Where's that pressure in my body? And just sort of suddenly sitting up straighter and, you know.
Yes. You know, it is amazing because what you're saying there, right, Janice, which is such an important experience, where that bow is a physical thing we do, right? There's a movement over there. And that what you're pointing us to is it's not a recitation at that point. I'm actually bowing and giving up my thought, you know, surrendering thoughts, pressures, tensions, and desires. So there's a way in which we could be here for the recitation of the words, but we could also be here for the direct experience of going to what is evoked in the words and actually practicing the words as we say them, which is, again, a qualitatively different experience. Because when I say, in the practice of loving kindness, I could just say it as if with wholeheartedly, or I could also go to the place of loving kindness in me. Now I'm not just saying the words, I'm practicing the words.
Yeah, exactly. Mm, exactly.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
And I will mute myself.
All right. Thank you,
Gasho.
You know I can't mute you. All right.
That was truly inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey there. It's Suzanne in Canada.
Hey, Suzanne.
Hey. I'm these days I'm feeling too disorganized to even do the assignment, like to get straight on what the assignment is. I recognize that it's the level of fear in my system. And that the context is I'm in a program and I'm completing it, but it requires me to be on a mental health unit and
Suzanne, sorry, it requires you to what?
I'm working on a mental health unit.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I'm getting, you know, when with doing this kind of work where we're so acutely trying to get present and drop any conditioned mind, I'm finding being in that kind of a situation where there's a lot, like it feels like there's so much rigidity in thinking, that's causing me to distrust myself, and get really shaky in my legs and in everything. So
now, Suzanne, you know, I'm going to call that a workshop.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's not the kind of workshop, you know, that we eagerly sign up for and can't wait to get to, but it definitely is. It's definitely an awareness practice workshop because, boy, you're seeing it up close and personal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it feels like I'm in water that's over my head. You know, that like how do I walk up the beach or towards the beach more so that it's not so, like, when the waves hit, they're not hitting me over the head.
Yeah, get out of the tsunami path, right? The thing is, what I hear anyway and what you're saying is you're perfectly equal to the task. What you're not feeling equal to is listening to the disorienting conversation and conditioned mind. Right, so there you know, you're in the situation. You're doing it. You're doing it, and the voices are saying you're in over your head. You know, you're too disoriented. But if just picture for a second, if those voices weren't saying any of that, you just go about what it is that you're doing. Without a voice second guessing you all the time, you would just do what you do. And if, you know, if somebody says, that's probably not the best way to do that, you might try it. You say, oh, okay, well, all right, yeah, that's helpful. I'll try that. And the voices, the ego voices, keep us from just letting life be as simple as it is.
Right. Yeah, I can feel my mind trying to organize that. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I can even hear my voice is stronger.
And then attention goes to conditioned mind to what we know is going to happen. It goes to conditioned mind to confuse you. Well, what about, but what, okay, that's fine, but if you're in the, and how about yesterday when this, yeah. So what we're actually learning to do is, not look there. That's not where we're going to get any helpful information. Right?
Right.
And it seems like, well, but where else am I going to look? You know, if I don't look there, I'm just going to be on my... No, actually, if you don't look there, you're going to be guided by life.
Right.
By the intelligence that animates you, by the awareness that is who you are. That's what's been doing it all along.
Right. Yeah, in my morning meditation this morning, it like some creativity arose that what if I sit and when I'm getting triggered to let it, like, slay me is how it came up, like to let it hit me and then wash down, like wash down my body.
Exactly.
Is that what you
mean? Yes, just wash over you. Just wash over you. So we're using all these water images, right? So here you are, you're walking on the beach, and there's a big wave comes in, and it washes over you, and then it recedes.
Right, and it's my mind that's telling me how deep I am in that water.
That's right, yeah. And it's not actually your mind. It's conditioned mind.
Okay.
You have what is actually your mind is a much deeper place than that conditioned mind.
Okay.
Conditioned mind is like the froth on the top. Your mind is the stillness and calm at the bottom of the lake.
Okay. Perfect. I love that image. Well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Just stay really close.
Okay.
Now, again, this is one of those places where the ego voices will say, you know, you really don't have time to get on that call. You have all these other, it's all these pressures you need to blah, 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 blah. Prioritize the what brings you back to you and that place of comfort and stillness in the heart.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. You are so welcome. Mm-hmm. Take good care.
Thank you.
Thanks, Suzanne. That was such an incredible conversation, Jerry. That place of recognizing that that the mind that we are is not the froth on the top.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of another great show, and we will talk to more callers tomorrow.
All right. Thank you so much, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Thank you. Go happy.